Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you've come out of the rain and come to be here this morning with us and with each other. And if you are new today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we welcome you and are so glad that you joined us today. Welcome. And so let's begin our service today by reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is by showing up here today through the words that are spoken and the music that is sung, and actually just witnessing and seeing each other. We are coming to recognize the presence of spirit that lives within us, that infinite presence that is a presence of love and of peace and the truth of our own wholeness and our own authentic power. Because what happens is, as we come to recognize that it's within us all the time, then when we are out in the world and the world is not, say, reflecting back peace to us or kindness or being loving, we aren't as reliant on getting that from the outside world, because we know that if it's in here, we can actually bring it forward and bring peace into that situation. We can actually stand in our own wholeness or our own power. We can actually bring love into a conversation or a relationship or an activity where love is not being activated or expressed right then. And so what happens is, as we do that, we not only participate in our own spiritual evolution, but because we are connected to everyone and everything, it affects the whole and supports the whole also in evolving. And so as we do that, we are giving way to that push of spirit as it expresses in grander and larger and fuller ways as life. And so I thank every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to being a beneficial presence in this world, and to bringing that presence of the infinite one into this world in a way that is healing and in a way that is beneficial. Thank you for that. And so on platform this morning today with me is our practitioner, Ray Bunch. He's going to lead us in an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit and do a short reading and tell us something about it today. And Rick Dale is here with us today. Yay. Rick's going to lead us in the prayer chant, I Open Up. The words will be up here on the wall. You are invited to sing along if you want, or just to kind of rest and allow those words to take you a little deeper and to help you slow down a little bit. So I invite you just to begin to kind of settle into yourself, to touch that place within yourself that is just your own beingness rather than the doingness of your life, and just to rest there.
The stillness with every breath I take. In the stillness, in the silence, I feel the life inside of me. I surrender to this moment. I open up. With every breath I take, in the stillness, in the silence, I feel spirit surrounding me. I surrender to this moment. I open up and I find peace. I open up and I find peace.
What a wonderful discovery. I open up. And I find me. How can we help not loving that part of ourselves? For it loves us so much, so completely. And it knows everything that I know about me and still loves me. I can accept that by simply standing still, opening up, and allowing it in. Accept it, understand it, realize it, live it, and share it. So this morning I just declare that there is one living spirit, one intelligence, one creative force of all that is. It is bigger than my imagination, and yet I try to expand my imagination of it more and more and realize this infinite possibilities that are available to all of us all the time. Today I bless this service. The people that are here, I bless all philosophies, all beliefs that are in a spiritual realm. Today, I bring forth love, compassion, understanding, commitment, and movement in my life. And I know that as I come to the end of this, that it is being returned to me as I have said. And so it is. Amen. So you guys will be glad I have a really short reading today. Well, I'm going to read it several times, so don't get too excited. I think that to stand up here and talk to you like I think that you ought to be different is a big mistake I could make in my life. So you have to know that every word I say here is really to me. Because that's the person that I'm most interested in changing. And I'm hoping that you'll take that same responsibility for yourself. Not too long ago, I was looking at a Science of Mind magazine daily guide. And it was in November of 2022, and the caption on the top of the guide was, "Complaining, Pathway to Powerlessness." I don't know about you guys, But I don't want to get involved in anything that has powerlessness hooked to it. That's called victim. I don't want to be a victim of nothing. So I can even get my ego behind this thing and see if I can't make that start going away. And in the process, on down in that reading, there was a quote from Maria Angelou that really rang my bell. What you're supposed to do when you don't like a thing is change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Don't complain. That's quite a challenge, actually, if you think about what that means. And I'm going to tell you what it meant for me. It meant that I needed to really start paying attention to how much I complain. Both these statements in here are driving me very hard right now, and I made a commitment on the 1st of January, when we all made those crazy commitments that most of us have already let go of, that we would do this year. I made this commitment to do this year more and more as I could. And I have, and I've gone through a lot of confusion with this, in that it says, if you can't change it, then change the way you think about it. Don't complain. And I had first thought was that you had to surrender to everything for me. That's what the first thought was. I went, well, that means I have to just let everything be like it is and stop complaining. But then recently I came to the understanding that if you change the way you think about it, you can also say, I'm not in this by myself. You know, when I'm in victimhood, I'm really in this by myself. But this is not just my problem. This is our problem. We need to do something about this, and I need to find people that agree with me. We need to do something about it and do something about it. Don't try to do it alone. And I became much more interested in things that I was interested in changing. And the things that I didn't think were important to change, let them be. And there's a lot of things I can surrender to, like trying to change my wife. She's not here today, so I can tell you the truth about that is, it's not possible. Give it up. If you're trying to change your partner, let it go. Don't go get somebody to help you. That ain't going to work. So, also, another thing that came to me out of this reading that I'm going to read to you if I can find it. And then I got to get off stage. It's not an entertainment series. It's in Science of Mind, we have a textbook called Science of the Mind, and there's first four chapters, and one of the first four chapters is called The Thing Itself, and I'm reading that, and it says, the great love of the universe must be one with the great law of its own being, and we approach love through the law. This then is the teaching, love and law. As the love of God is perfect, so the law of God is also perfect. And we must understand both. And that's like there's not really two things, love and law. There's only one, the love and the law. So be careful when you pick up stuff that looks simple to get because it starts getting more complicated. What you're supposed to do when you don't like a thing is change it. If you can't change it, then change the way you think about it. Don't complain. Thank you.
And so I'm actually going to start today with a story. It goes like this. John, a devout monk, joined an order that cherished its silence. The abbot greeted him with these words, "Brother, this is a silent monastery. You are welcome here as long as you like, but you may not speak until I direct you to do so." Brother John lived in the monastery for 5 years until one day the abbot said to him, "Brother John, you have been here 5 years now. You may speak 2 words." Brother John said, "Hard bed." "I'm sorry to hear that," the abbot said. "We will get you a better bed." After another 5 years, the abbot approached Brother John again. "You may say another 2 words," said the abbot. "Cold food," said Brother John. And the abbot assured him that the food would be better in the future. On his 15th anniversary at the monastery, the abbot called Brother John into his office. "Again, you may speak 2 words," said the abbot. "I quit," said Brother John. After a long look, the abbot replied, "It's probably for the best. You've done nothing but complain since you got here." Seriously, though, don't you find it hard not to complain sometimes? You know, we complain about the weather, and we complain about the temperature, and we complain about the traffic and how terrible some of those drivers are that are out there. We complain about prices and inflation. We complain about robocalls and about the politicians. We complain about our spouse, what our spouse does do and doesn't do. And we complain about our neighbors and our coworkers and our bosses. We complain about a lot of things. I used to go to a reflexologist years ago. I'd go see her every 2 weeks. And one time she had bought herself a washing machine during the week that week. And she told me, although this store had come highly recommended to her to buy her washer, she didn't really like the service. And then they set up a delivery date, and they showed up hours later than when they were supposed to get there. It was already dark when they finally delivered her washing machine, and they brought the wrong washing machine. So they had to take it back with them, and the next day they brought her the new washing machine and hooked it up. And so it had been 6 days, and yet she was still complaining about the service and about them being late and about them bringing the wrong one. Instead of being happy about the fact that she now had a washing machine that worked, and it did. She loved the new washing machine, and it worked beautifully. But she was stuck in complaining instead of, like Ray said, finding a solution, or instead of moving forward. Dr. Liza Varvogli, in an article that she wrote, "Complaining Rewires Your Brain for Negativity, Pessimism, and Unhappiness," said, "The human brain loves familiarity and efficiency. So what you feed your brain, it will settle for and seek more of it. The more you complain, the more you make this the default mode of your brain's operation. Neurons that handle the negative pieces of information will fire together, and with practice, they will make new neural pathways of negativity. Once this pattern is established, every time you encounter a new situation or need to interpret your experience, the established circuit of neurons will process it in a way that it knows how to do it, through complaining and pessimism." Reverend Dennis Merritt Jones says, "The universe has extremely big ears and is always listening, and it can't take a joke. It magnifies what we focus our energy on and expands our experience of it. The more we complain about something, the more we draw to us more things to complain about." The problem to me is not just that we create new neural pathways and that we draw more negativity to us. The problem, biggest problem to me, is that our complaining gets us stuck in victimhood. It keeps us in victim mode, and that disempowers us. We also get stuck mentally and emotionally in whatever the experience was and the emotional experience of what happened, instead of finding a solution or an answer or a way forward or a way out of whatever's going on. That means that every time we complain about something, we re-experience the situation, and we re-experience our emotional response to whatever happened. So we re-experience our frustration, or we re-experience how irritated we were. We re-experience being angry or betrayed or let down again and again and again and again every single time we tell the story. As if experiencing that once wasn't enough. Dennis Prager said, "Complaining not only ruins everybody else's day, but it ruins the complainer's day too. The more we complain, the more unhappy we get." So in reality, we don't really want to be stuck in what isn't working. We don't want to feel helpless. We don't want to feel hopeless. What we really want is to feel peaceful. What we really want is to feel empowered to make the changes in our lives and in our world and in our places of work and whatever it is, so that things are in alignment with how we want things to be. We want to have a positive impact on our environment. And as spiritual beings, we really want to experience our own authentic power. We want to be able to own that and stand in that and feel that. And when we complain, it does not ever take us to making those positive changes. It does not ever make us feel empowered. It does not ever make a positive impact on our environment when we are complaining. Do you get that? And because we are in the season for nonviolence right now, I've been talking about ways to create peace. Today I'm talking about creating peace within ourselves and within our environment by not complaining. And so why then, if all those things are true, do we even complain in the first place? I think there's several reasons why we complain. I think one reason we complain is simply to get attention while we're telling that story. I think we complain because we are addicted to drama and that feels good. I think we complain out of habit. I think sometimes we complain to feel connected to that other person. And I think we complain because we don't know what the solution is to whatever it is that's happening. And so we're going to look at those five things today. And so that first one is that we complain sometimes to get attention. We complain so someone will feel sorry for us. In their listening to what it is that we're complaining about, I think what happens sometimes is we feel cared for and we feel seen and we feel like we're important, we're valued. And so if you think about it, why do I complain? If one of the reasons that you complain is to get attention like that, to feel seen and valued and important, I invite you to ask yourself, what else might I do to feel seen by this person or to feel seen in my life? What else might I do to feel valued or important in this world? What different thing can I do to feel important in the world or in my environment, in my place of work, whatever, wherever it is that you're complaining about? And then try doing that and see if it doesn't fulfill that need rather than doing it through complaining. The second thing is that we get addicted to drama. I think when we complain, we feel passionate about something. So feeling that passionate, or it feels like excitement, and somehow that makes us feel more alive. But if drama makes you feel more alive, if that's why you're doing it, what can you do instead to create excitement in your life? What else can you do that stirs up your passion? What else can you do to bring passion to your life in a way that is uplifting, in a way that is joyful, in a way that is fun, in a way that feels actually fulfilling to you? Because the complaining in that moment is fulfilling because life feels exciting, there's energy moving, but in the long run, it doesn't lift you up and fulfill you. And so maybe the third reason, maybe the reason that you complain is just simply out of habit. Maybe you have lots of negative neural pathways that have been established in your brain. But can you notice the good in your life right now? Can you notice some of the good things and put your focus and your attention on those things instead of the things that aren't working? Can you maybe find the positive in that particular situation? Oh yeah, I now have a washing machine that I really like and it works really well. It takes so much less time to do my laundry than my old one did, and it doesn't make that racket. Can you find what there is to be grateful for and what's positive in that situation? And if you can't find something positive in that situation, can you find gratitude for something and focus on your gratitude? Because that will lift you up. And that will draw more good to you when you're in gratitude. And so if you complain out of habit, I invite you to start practicing gratitude. Start looking for the things that are positive, that are uplifting, that are good in your life, that are good in the world. And fourth, complaining, like gossip, helps us feel connected to the person we're talking to. We feel connected in our shared grievance, in our belly aching. So the question really is, how else can you feel connected to that person? What else can you do to feel connected? Is there another way that you can be real with that person? Or be really authentic? Or be vulnerable? Or have affinity with them? I think there's lots of reasons, lots of ways that you can create affinity with a person that actually feels good, that serves you both, and that feels nurturing and uplifting. And then the fifth and the very last one is, sometimes we complain because we don't know what the answer is. We don't know what the solution is. We don't even know if there is a solution. But the thing is, complaining cuts us off from it. We're never going to find a solution in our We have to let go of the complaints in order to discover what the solution is. And so the title of my talk today is Got Whine. And I'm talking about really that we are here as expressions of that creative intelligence of the universe. And we are here to further express it. Our complaining contradicts that power that is within us. It contradicts the power of spirit, the intelligence of spirit, the creativity of spirit that lives within us and that lives within all things. It keeps us stuck in victimhood. Complaining keeps us in the mindset of helplessness, which keeps us from moving forward and creating the change that we really want to experience in our life. Dennis Merritt Jones said, we can put whatever tempts us to complain about into two categories. It is either an issue we can and therefore should do something about, or it's beyond our control and we should release it. Whether we chronically complain about the same thing, when we chronically complain about the same thing, we are granting it permission to remain unchanged in our experience. Complainers are powerless. In our complaining, we are powerless to change that thing. So what if every time you find something to complain about in your life, in that thing were really an invitation to be or to do something different? What if everything that you complained about, there were an invitation within it to be part of the solution? Think about that. What are you complaining about lately? What if that is an invitation for you to be part of the solution? What if it's an invitation to reach deeper into yourself and to find your own peace, or to find your own center and to be able to stay there? Or what if it's an invitation to find your own wholeness, the part of you that is not affected by what happens in the world and outside of you? What if it's just an invitation to go deeper and to discover that? And sometimes I know it can feel easier to complain than to do that work. But you know what? You signed up for this path. You signed up for this spiritual path that you're walking. And that means that all of it is part of your spiritual path. Not just the parts we like. It's all part of your spiritual path. It is all here to assist you in owning your power. It is all here to assist you in owning and standing in the creative intelligence that lives within you. It is all here to help you discover a deeper love and a greater compassion and a bigger kindness, and to discover the voice of your spirit rather than the voice of your ego. Richard Beck tells a story. I use the following scenario in my classes to illustrate the nature of the heart circle. Imagine, I ask my students, that your best friend just got a job waiting tables at a restaurant. To celebrate with her, you arrange with friends to go to the restaurant to eat dinner on her first night. You ask to be seated in her section and look forward to surprising her, and later leaving her a big tip. Soon your friend arrives at the table, sweating and stressed out. She's having a terrible night. Things are going badly. She's behind on getting food and drinks to the table. So I ask my students, what do you do? Easily and naturally, the students respond, we'd say, don't worry about us. Take care of everyone else first. I point out to the students that this response is no great moral struggle. It's a simple and an easy response, like breathing. It's just as natural to extend grace to a suffering friend. Why? Because they are inside our heart circle. But imagine, I continue with the students, that you go out to eat tonight with some friends, and your server, whom you vaguely notice, seems stressed out, performs poorly. You don't get good service. What do you do in this situation? Well, since this stranger is not part of your heart circle, you get frustrated and angry. The server is a tool, and she is not performing properly. She is inconveniencing us. So we complain to the manager, refuse to give her a tip. In the end, we fail to treat another human being with mercy and dignity. Why? Because in a deep psychological sense, the server wasn't really, quote, human to us. She was part of the backdrop of our lives, a part of the teeming anonymous masses toward which we feel indifference, fear, and frustration. The server is, quote, outside of our heart circle. And so what if every single time you complain, there is actually something for you to do? What if every time you complain, there is actually something to do that serves your spirit and that serves the whole, one or the other or both? Your job is to figure it out, to figure out how it is that that thing can be the catalyst for it serving your spirit or serving the whole. And so my invitation to you is that next time you find yourself complaining or wanting to complain, to ask yourself, why am I complaining? What's the need that I'm trying to get met here? Am I trying to get attention? Am I trying to feel connection? Is it just a habit? Is it because I don't know the solution? Practice mindfulness. That's practicing mindfulness. Why am I complaining? You have to stop and look within. How else can I get that need met rather than through complaining? And the second thing to ask yourself is, what can I do about this, with this, instead of complaining? What can I do instead that actually serves the good? And to listen for that answer. And you might not be able to come up with it in that exact moment, which means later you need to kind of sit with it. You might find yourself complaining and not even be aware of it. Later, stop and ask yourself, what need was I trying to get met? Why was I doing that? What else might I do instead? And what could I do if that was really an invitation to serve my own spirit and to serve the whole, to serve the good? How can I do that next time? And do it. And if you can't do it in the moment, create a plan to move yourself toward doing that thing. You are here to evolve. And in your evolution, you lift everyone just a little bit and help them evolve right along with you. And if there's nothing that you can do about the thing you're complaining about, then drop it. Let it go, shake it off, and move forward in your life. And then find something to be grateful for. And as a result of that, you will be experiencing greater peace within, and you'll be creating greater peace in your environment. And so blessings to every one of you as you walk this path of discovering your own spirit and of bringing the divine presence and love into this world in a way that is truly beneficial. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. Oh, and so how good it is to recognize that the presence of the Infinite One, that living spirit, is always right where we are. That at every moment in our lives, in everything that we do, right here is the infinite, the divine, love itself, creativity and intelligence, life energy, and the good. For God and good are synonymous with each other. And so today we recognize that we walk in that good. Everywhere we look, it is unfolding itself in and through all things. And that today we recognize that not only do we live and move and have our beingness within this presence, but that it also lives and moves and has its beingness within us and through us and as us. And so today we answer the call of our own hearts and our own souls and our own spirits to be the presence of love and of kindness, of compassion and of care, of solutions and answers in a way that serves the whole, in a way that serves all of humanity and that serves the spirit in each one of us. And so today I recognize and know that we are each led on this path, that we are each guided and directed in ways that are beneficial to the whole. And I know that as we look to the light outside of us and within us, we discover it. And as we look to the light and discover it, all that seems like darkness dissipates into the background. For in our saying yes, the fullness of spirit expresses itself through us in a grander and a fuller and a brighter and a more profound way. and for this I am grateful. And so I speak this word not only about each one of us that is here in this room, but I speak this word about each and every single person on this entire planet. That right where they are is the presence of Spirit also. And that it knows the need before the need is even spoken. And that right now, the truth of abundance and of love and of good and of wholeness and of power is already present in each and every single person. And that right now, as we turn our attention to this, because we are one and part of the whole, that where there is an opening anywhere, there is an opening everywhere. So Spirit then, therefore, is flowing into the lives of each and every single person in a greater way as the exact thing that they need in that moment. In every home, in every heart, in every person, Spirit is unfolding itself. And so I speak this word also about every single world leader, every single politician, every single decision maker, knowing that the wisdom of Spirit lives within them and that right now it is guiding their decisions, guiding their choices, guiding their thinking from that highest perspective and the highest intelligence. And I also recognize that love is greater than anything unlike it, and that love right now fills and guides and speaks to the heart of each and every single decision maker in this world. For truly, there is only one, and we are each a part of it. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now simply because it is the truth. And in that, I am so grateful. And so I release this prayer, and I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is.
Well, it's time for our affirmation now. If you join me, I'd appreciate it. I'll give you a second to find it. Today, I reframe from complaining. Instead, I ask myself, what can I do there that will serve good? I am empowered, connected, and I make a positive difference through my words and my actions. And so it is.
And so I just have a couple of invitations for you. If you haven't been here recently, Yvonne McLaughlin, we are having a celebration of life for her on March 12th. Her daughter would like RSVP so they know how much food to order. It's going to be at the Grand in Long Beach, March 12th at 1 o'clock. They're serving lunch. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back if you would sign your name if you plan to come to that. We just invite you to check in on Meetup and say that you're coming. We invite you to follow us on Facebook and to share our talks. Our Sunday talks come out every single Monday. If you aren't on our email list and would like to be, give your email address to Ray Bunch and he'll make sure those emails go out to you. And also, so we have added some time that we get to be in this room, so it's an invitation to linger longer. And so we don't have to be out of here until noon, so I invite you, don't start cleaning up and putting everything away at first. Visit, there's coffee, there's some snacks. We really don't have to start cleaning up until 25 till 12 to be out of here by 12. So I invite you just to enjoy each other. So I invite you to repeat after me, good fills my life now.
Good fills my life now.
I step into it.
I step into it.
I own it.
I own it.
I celebrate it.
I celebrate it.
And so it is.